Let's open the scriptures to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The title of this talk is Our Doctrine. So we'll go through some basic scriptures. And I was thinking about it when I was putting it down, writing these things together. Like, if you're ever wondering what our doctrine is, come to an outreach. You learn our doctrine pretty quickly when you're door knocking or street witnessing, because you've got to know what to say, and you're constantly saying that, and so it reaffirms in your mind when you're talking to people about how to get to heaven. That's our doctrine, the pathway to get to heaven. And so we'll start here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So here's a warning here that Paul's writing to Timothy, a pastor at the time, and he's warning that people will move away from the true doctrine. Like it says there, now the Spirit speaks expressly. You know, like this is a very firm revelation that Paul had through the Spirit, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And so those seducing spirits, other doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils are those doctrines that don't fit in with the doctrine of the Bible. There's a couple of examples there: hypocrisy, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. You know, like there's a commandment they say that you shouldn't eat this or drink that. But says there also in verse 2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Is their conscience is so seared with a hot iron that they believe what they're saying is right, and it can't be changed in their mind. So these are warnings for us as well, for us to read and to dwell on, that we are not seduced to other spirits and other doctrines. It says elsewhere that to try the spirits, you know, try them and find out if they're right or wrong. 2 John, and you'll know them by their fruits as well. So sometimes you just need a bit of time to find out. Often need a bit of time. Find out these things being revealed. 2 John, and it says in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his, God's, commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. If you're wondering, this term antichrist is bandied about a lot now, and it's bandied about wrong. I mean, there's a simple definition here of the antichrist. It's anyone who preaches contrary to what Christ taught and the doctrine. Anyone who preaches the doctrines of devils or seducing spirits, they are an antichrist. Verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So you don't give up. You don't lose it. Like we use the term lose your salvation, you know. Let us not lose that. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For if he biddeth, he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds, like agreeing with them. You know, like, yeah, you carry on preaching the wrong thing. You know, no, we don't say that. We don't say that at all. So we don't agree with these. We're very firm on our doctrine. And it's important that we all know what our doctrine is. You can, like I said, outreaches or even in the pamphlet, you can read that and it's got our doctrine in it. But it's all scripturally supported, and we always go back to what's written in the Bible. To be careful, when there are deceivers that come along, we are fully cognizant of what our doctrine is and we can resist the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. It's another aspect here. I want to kind of press upon this so that we go from here to understand what the doctrine is. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Hold fast. I love that. Hold fast. It's like one of those, I had to move some a large sheet of polyethylene on Friday. And to do that, you have this clamp and you clamp it so it goes beyond a point and it holds fast. So you hold fast so that then it won't slip off. So we hold fast the form of sound words. You know, it's like that clamp that goes beyond a point. It locks on, you know. It locks on to that. So hold fast. Which thou hast heard of me, like, so it comes from God, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. So the doctrine that we hold fast to and that we have a high regard for is simply a good thing. It's a good thing that's been committed unto us. We are ambassadors, and we keep it through the Holy Ghost. It's through the Holy Ghost that that understanding grows and it wells up in us, and we bear that fruit. It's that good thing. So hold fast. Don't let go. Lock on so it's impossible to slip. Okay, let's get into some doctrine scriptures. John chapter 1. And you keep refining. You keep praying. You keep reading. Going through this, and that's what I've mentioned on Wednesday. I was just reflecting after the Sunday meeting last week. It was just so good, you know. We were at the table, and there were people had questions. You know, it's just brilliant because it just shows people are reading the Bible. You got questions? Oh, what's this mean? What's that mean? And it's just great, you know. I was really excited after that. So don't be afraid to ask questions because it's fantastic. It's actually really exciting. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word that we read was in the beginning, before the earth was created, before paper was created and ink, before people were created. The Word that we read existed before anything else. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Just to make sure you didn't misunderstand the first half of the sentence. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We see that so much today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's a peculiar thing, that's referring to Jesus Christ here, that Jesus Christ came on this earth, to walk on this earth, and the world itself didn't even know him, and yet he created everything. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ, excuse me, was the Word, and it became flesh. That's why it says in John chapter 6, you must eat his flesh. You must devour it. Devour the Word. The Word is food. It's food. All of it. And so we devour that Word so that we may grow strong. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As Diana said, she's just so grateful for his grace and mercy. So this was Jesus Christ. It's talking about Jesus Christ, the Word in the beginning, before anything. Then that Word became flesh. It became Jesus Christ, walked on the face of the earth, walked on the face of the earth that he created anyway. And that is why then this Word is Jesus, really. So we devour it, that we can grow and we can learn And it and Jesus Christ was such an important historical figure. Over to Mark chapter 16. We'll look at some of Jesus' own words. It's pretty easy for me to tell because it's highlighted in red in my Bible. Mark chapter 16. Among Jesus' last words before he was raised up to live forever on the right hand of God. Mark chapter 16. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So these are, in the red, the words of Jesus Christ, these last words he spoke to the 11 apostles that were left. And after that, they went ahead and they preached the gospel to every creature. So they knew the doctrine. They knew about the doctrine. And we read in Acts, this obviously after they received the Holy Spirit, they knew the doctrine, so they had something to say. They knew firmly. And what one thing I want to point out here, it says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So baptism is important. It's part of our doctrine, baptism. And it's so important because those that are baptized are saved. You know, we want to be saved. We want to be saved from death, you know, from this world. We want to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. So baptism, even though we just get wet in the flesh, there's something very special about it in the Lord's eyes. So that when you're baptized, you are saved. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So he waited that whole time for Noah to hurry up and build the ark. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, as we read before. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. As a result of what Jesus did, he became a lamb. He's now been raised up into heaven, where angels and authorities and powers are all subject to him. But this baptism bit, it reaffirms there that you're now saved through baptism. But what I like in brackets, it says, baptism is not putting away the filth of the flesh. We all understand that now. We still carry the filth of the flesh around us, drag it through life. We all understand that after the years of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not that, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. That humility, being like a child. Okay, I don't get it. I just get wet. But hey, God tells me I've got to do it. And God tells me I'll be saved by it. Jesus did it, so I'm doing it. So we'll read that. Matthew chapter 3. Some preaching of John the Baptist. And I'll read a verse that is one of the few things that is common in all of the Gospels. And it's repeated twice in the book of Acts. So when that happens, we look at layers of proof and reproof. When that happens, when it's in all the Gospels and twice in Acts, it's something to listen to, something to grab hold of and remember. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist here is speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay, so baptism, we know you get saved. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. But what John's saying here, yes, baptism by full immersion in water is important, but I want you to believe on him who comes after me, because he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Okay, that's the package. That's the salvation package. And so if you have a part of it and not another part, that means you've got a bit of the doctrine. You're building your house on sand. It's not the whole doctrine, the whole package. And praise the Lord, everyone here understands that whole package. You know, you're baptized by full immersion, you're sought for the Holy Ghost, and then you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Just jump down to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You know, you're the Son of God. Why am I doing this? You know, you should be baptizing me. But then again, think about it. Well, who's going to baptize Jesus? So that's what John was called for, was to be baptized, to baptize Jesus Christ. Verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So there's another aspect. Baptism fulfills righteousness. If you don't have baptism, righteousness is not fulfilled. And we want to fulfill righteousness. We want to be able to tell people how their righteousness can be fulfilled. So baptism is so important. And that's why we have the tank just out there and we can wheel it out and we can fill it up with water when anybody comes here wanting to be baptized. So that we know that righteousness is fulfilled. As Jesus says here, it's his own word that was set down before the world was even created. John chapter 3. How could I miss John chapter 3? John chapter 3. Just a wonderful thing. It's another thing I was thinking of, like I was kind of dwelling on how in Genesis it says that God says that I'll create people in our image, you know, and us. He's referring to our and us. You know, there's a plural there. And I was just dwelling on that. And it's because, like, I believe, like, he's created us in his image. He's created so many things as a shadow of the heavenly things. And when he's referring to us, he's actually referring to us here, you know, filled with the Spirit. Like, we were there at the beginning. Like, it says in, I can't remember where, whether it was Ecclesiastes, like, he holds the souls of men, like, in a jar, and he distributes it when it's needed. And so he's got the souls of men up there, and so he's talking about us, like the bride of Christ, you know? And so we're created in his image, like we've got male and female, we're created in his image. So when he's referring to us, he's referring to the spiritual male and female, you know, the spiritual Jesus Christ, the spiritual bride of Christ. That's the us business. And so now we read this in John chapter 3, and we were looking at being born again, okay? And what happens here on earth when someone is born? The same thing, it's a shadow of the spiritual things. So when we understand what's going on and we see what's happening when someone's born here on earth, we can get an idea of what happens when someone's born again of the Spirit, because God made it a shadow of heavenly things. John chapter 3 in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. It's obvious to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So talking about doctrine, our doctrine is we want to help people enter the kingdom of God. And so being born again is important. It's such an important thing to tell people about. It's our doctrine to be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, it's impossible to be saved. Verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I was referring to there, when someone's born in the flesh, in the natural here, you know, I've said this so many times on the street corner or at a door, you know, like you can understand that. Like I often say, apparently, because I don't actually have my own children, and apparently when a child is born, you know, there's a moment of concern until it starts making a racket, you know, squawking and carrying on. And then, yay, you know it's alive. You know it's alive, it's been born. If it doesn't squawk and carry on, as it says in Acts chapter 2, it says something you can see and hear. You can see and hear that. Whoa, yes, this baby's alive. It's brilliant. And so, same thing, that's a shadow of being born again of the Spirit. And so where do we link this in? Right, someone's praying for the Holy Spirit. They've got to be born again of water and the Spirit. They're being baptized. They're praying for this Spirit. They want to be born again of the Spirit. So they're there praying away and there's concern because it's still born. It's still, there's nothing going on. And then bang, they speak in tongues. They squawk and carry on in tongues. Yay, they've been born again. They've been born of the Spirit. They are what part of God's kingdom and God's family. Like that baby that's born and starts squawking and carrying on, they're part of the family. Like they've got parents and siblings and stuff, they're part of a family. So when we're born again of the Spirit, we're part of God's family. We're born again. And that's the start. That's the start through the Spirit. And also verse 8 is just a great example, another shadow of spiritual things. We understand, we can see wind blowing through the trees. You can see where it is. It's making noise, rustling sounds and so forth. In fact, some traditional people actually refer to it as a spirit. And they try to listen to these things. So there's a noise with the movement of the trees. And what's interesting as well, each tree makes a different sound. But you know where it is, but you don't know where the wind comes from or it goes. Same with the Spirit. Where'd the Spirit come from? Well, we know it came from heaven somewhere. Where is it? Well, I don't know. It's somewhere in me, but I know where it is. It's there. They've got the Spirit. They've been born again, and they are righteous before the Lord. It's not nebulous. It's as clear can be. And during the week, I was speaking to someone who was just so sure that salvation was just through loving God. Yeah, I see that written here in John chapter 3. It's very clear. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. Praise the Lord, we have that vision of what our doctrine is. Acts chapter 1. Some more of Jesus' last words. Acts chapter 1. And that's why also, like every month, I choose a different scripture to put on the newsletter, but I persist in keeping Acts 2:38 on the newsletter. So if you forget what the doctrine is, read the newsletter, read the pamphlet. You know, it's all there. We're open about what our doctrine is. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together, this is kind of the same time that we read in Mark, but it's a different aspect of it. And being assembled together with them, Jesus being assembled with the 11, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So repeating what we read in Matthew. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Jesus here doesn't have much time on earth, and he's just honing in on the apostles and saying, look, hang around here, you need this power. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. So stay there and it will be granted you. And for 7 days, they're praying in an upper room. And then over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and that's the other thing you might get confronted with, was what's your religion, you know? It's funny, I always laugh inside when they ask that. But anyway, we are Pentecostal. But we don't add things to the scriptures. We believe the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus died. And that again is a fulfillment of prophecy. 50 days after Israel moved through the Red Sea, the law was given on Mount Sinai. But we worship now at Mount Zion, the spiritual mount. So on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're all with one accord, they're that unity in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Would have been an amazing experience. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and power. They were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and power, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we hear the testimonies at every meeting, people being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, and they knew it when they spoke in tongues. They started squawking away in God's language. I like saying that as well. Like, as mankind, we can talk to each other. We speak the same language. God is a spirit. So you need to speak his language, speaking in tongues, in the spirit. So you can communicate with God. Over to Acts chapter 19. And this is where the package is important, the whole package. So when someone new comes along, we need to explain the salvation is one package. You can't have little bits here and there. So Acts chapter 19, it's so reassuring that we've got these scriptures to tackle all the circumstances that may arise. Verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, those that were following what appeared to be God. Verse 2, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you been born again of the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost and power? Have you got this thing? Do you speak in tongues? You know, like you appear to follow the things of God since you believe. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And this is such a tragedy. And this is why we've got to hold fast, as I said before, hold fast the sound form of doctrine, the full doctrine. Because here, only a couple of decades after Jesus walked on the earth, and I mean, we can't really comprehend it, but like, think about it. Like, Jesus had, in one instance, 4,000 men following him. In another instance, 5,000 following. He made a huge impact on the earth, a huge impact. And then only a couple of decades later, they'd forgotten about Jesus' baptism. And they only knew about John's baptism. And you can see it now. You soften the doctrine a bit. You soften it a little bit so that, oh, you're saved. You're right. You just need to give your heart to the Lord. You just need to do this. You don't need to worry about the Spirit. So let us not soften the doctrine like they did only a couple of decades after Jesus was on the earth. You know, they only knew about John's baptism. They didn't know about the whole package. They were building their house on the sand. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, which is important, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And we read two verses in the Bible about that, where John himself said it and Jesus said it as well. John indeed baptized with water unto repentance, but ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost you shall receive the Holy Ghost with power, right? That's what it's all about. That's the package. And Paul is just reiterating this here to these disciples in Ephesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So because the first baptism wasn't with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit, it was a null and void baptism. It was a waste. So Paul baptized them again in the name of the Lord Jesus, believing on him who would come after John, and then with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the package. That is the full package, the full doctrine. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, just one verse here that we quote so much when we're talking to people about the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Very harsh language. You need the Spirit of Christ to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's why we harp on about the Spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of God's, none of Christ's. You're not part of his family. You know, if all you do is have a love for God, well, if you think about it, if you have a love for God, you'll follow his commandments, won't you? But if you say you just love God but you don't do his commandments, then you're not part of the body of Christ. It's as simple as that. It's harsh, but at least we know it's true because it's written in the scriptures. And we look for those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness will grab hold of this like all of us did. Our ears pricked up, thought, yeah, we got the answers. You know, we are just a remnant. So don't be disheartened. We are a remnant. We're looking for the lost sheep amongst many wolves. So yes, be firm with what our salvation message is and what our doctrine is. So we'll finish up with Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. Well, we'll start in verse 37. This here, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, is a good summary of the salvation message. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do I get to heaven? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the complete package. Not broken up. And here's another aspect of being baptized. It's for the remission of sins. It fulfills all righteousness. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. Through baptism, if you get baptized, you'll be saved. And your sins will be forgiven. You'll be righteous before God's eyes. And it's just a fantastic thing. And so this here is a summary. And I liken it to the Ten Commandments. In the old law, there was the Ten Commandments. It wasn't the whole of the law, but it was a good summary, a good little bite-sized summary for people to grab hold of and remember. It wasn't the whole over 600-odd commandments. And so we repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and then we carry on walking in spirit and in truth. A good summary of our salvation message is Acts 2, verse 38. It doesn't tell us how to carry on walking in spirit and truth. That's the other rest of the Bible. We read that, you know, about coming together and about leaving the old life behind, trusting him, having faith. You know, all these things we come to meetings for, to hear talks about throughout the year. You know, that helps us to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air as we struggle between the opposing forces of the spirit and the flesh. You know, we still carry the filth of the flesh with us. But we do that. We carry it through life, knowing that if we carry on and we hold fast the sound form of doctrine that was first given to us, we will be raised up to meet him in the air. And so we try to understand the full doctrine, the full message, and we're refined in that so that we can, at the drop of a hat, tell anybody about it because it's just so inborn in us. Okay, thank you.